His skull twitched a little, one tip stroking over his left shoulder, the other two pointing like fingers tapping at the air. "Yeah, well, this bitch is a Jedi," Lannery translated. Tree's eyes opened wide. "You know Twi'leki?" "Of course. That surprises you?"
"Huh.
Huh.
Nothing about the Jedi can surprise me."
"Oh, don't be so sure." Lannery took a drink and looked around Susko's tavern. With more than 15 settled planets and moons, and spread over 16 billion kilometers, there were places like this all across the Tython system. Places where people gathered to drink, eat, and talk, no matter what their color, species, creed, or breed. Where music played in the background, either a local tune or perhaps something more exotic from another continent or another world. Where travelers found common ground, and those who chose not to travel could hear outlandish tales of faraway places. And it was in these taverns that tongues could be loosened, news spread, and secrets overheard. Lannery loved places like this, because often after a drink or two, she could have been anywhere. The drink she was sipping now had been recommended by Tree, a local wine made from deep-sea grapes and fortified with swing dust from some of the air mines at Calamar's North Pole. It was incredibly strong, but she used a gentle force flow to make sure the potent drink did not impede her senses. She might enjoy such taverns, but she had been attacked in places like these, and she had also killed in them. "Master Dan Powell vouches for you," Lannery said. Trisana's eyes glimmered with humor.
"Oh, I doubt that."
"Well, she says to watch you, and that I should kill you the first moment you display any hint of betrayal." Lannery looked around the tavern but probed for Tree's reaction. Strange. She felt nothing. She turned back to him and said, "But Dan Powell assures me you don't have a traitorous bone in your body." Tree raised his brows, and his leku, resting now over his shoulders, performed a gentle, almost sensuous touch along their tips. "Good," Lannery said, smiling. "Then let's take a meal, and at the same time share some information."
"The sea beef is very good here," Tree said.
He raised a hand and caught the attention of the barman. A wave and a click of his fingers, and the barman nodded back, grinning. Lannery probed outward and touched the barman's mind. She took a startled breath. She could never really prepare for experiencing another's thoughts, as the first rush was always overwhelming. But she quickly filtered out the random, the violent, the sick and disgusting, and narrowed to what she sought.
"Tree so cool, so calm, so red, sitting there with her, that Jedi, and he'd be lucky. She'd eat him alive."
She broke away and stared at Tree until he averted his yellow eyes. But she said nothing. She knew she was attractive, and if he was thinking of her that way, there was no real harm. "I'll be very open with you," Lannery said. "Very honest. That's a good way to begin for both of us. There's something about you I can't read, but I don't need the force to understand people. You're haughty and superior. Maybe that's just you, but right now I think it's because you think you have me at a disadvantage. Perhaps because Dan Powell has told you most, if not all, of what I know and why I'm here." Tree blinked softly, his leku touching in gentle acknowledgement. "And so you know whom I seek. You'll know that he's my brother. I have rumors and stories told in taverns, second-hand information from sources I can't verify and don't trust. And the sum of all the information I have gives me virtually nothing to go on. I don't even know what planet he's on right now."
"You can't,
He waved his fingers, raised his arms up and down.
"Force his location?"
Lannery glared at Tree. His childish display did not warrant a response. "Master Dan Powell sent me to you and said you might be able to help. I hope so, because I don't know how much more of this piss I can take." Lannery emptied her glass in one swallow.
"And now I'll be very open with you, too," Tree said, suddenly serious. "Along with talk of your brother, I hear rumors of Gree technology."
Lannery inclined her head, raised an eyebrow. I don't mean the Hypergate. Anyone with half a mind knows of the theories about the old city being of Gree origin. Tree leaned in closer, glancing around.
I mean, what drives the Hypergate.
I don't understand, she said. But already she was thinking of what the Masters had told her back on Typhon.
Dark matter. I mean there are whispers of design plans, tech details.
Tree shrugged.
Blueprints. And all Gree.
Lannery leaned back in shock.
Gree? Really? So little was known about that ancient people.
There were theories that the Gree had once inhabited the old city on Typhon, but theorists were split as to whether the Gree had built it themselves. Though the Gree were long gone from the galaxy, it was suggested by some that the old city was even more ancient. Lannery had met a man on Typhon, not a Jedi, but someone allied to them in Outlook, who had spent his life researching the Gree and their legacy, and even what he knew could be relayed in little more than an hour of talk. And now, this mysterious Twi'lek, who, if what Dan Powell had told her was true, undertook criminal activities, was claiming that Dale had found something the Gree had left behind.
Blueprints?
She asked.
Only what I've heard.
More wine? Lannery bristled. He was toying with her, playing a Jedi Ranger as he would a weak-minded, petty criminal looking to muscle in on some nefarious deal. She leaned back in her chair and feigned tiredness, but behind her drooping eyelids she felt the Force flow, stirring her senses, boosting them, and she probed outward once again to touch Tree's mind. But he was close to her. Tree's eyes went wide, and for a moment he looked unaccountably sad, shoulders dropping and Leku slumping down exhausted. He looks like a battered pet, Lannery thought. She wasn't sure where the image came from, but she had grown to trust her first impressions. The Force resided in her subconscious, too, and sometimes it spoke. He would not meet her gaze, staring instead into his half-empty glass. She sensed around the fringes of his mind, but could not get in, and it was something she was not used to. Some species were very hard to read. The Cathar's minds worked in a very different way, thinking in symbols and abstracts rather than words and images. But usually, she could at least touch another's mind, whether human or alien. Trees had a wall. It seemed to encircle his consciousness, and her efforts rebounded from it, almost hinting that there was no mind at all. Yet she knew that was